Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, we're going to get right into this. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is July 13th. It is deja vu for yours truly. I actually, earlier today, recorded the mailbag that will premiere tomorrow. I think I may actually just upload it on YouTube around the mid-afternoon so everybody could get it a reasonable hour. It's already recorded. It's in the bag. About 90 minutes long. A lot of questions came in. Excellent topic, so look out for that. Tonight, we're going to talk about AEW that just went off the air. It had the good, it had the bad, and it had the ugly. I mean, we tell it like it is. We'll talk about NXT yesterday, which had the good, it had the bad, and it most certainly had the ugly. Oh, no, not what went down with Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. Yeah. Last week and the week before, we had so much fun on this show. And I was talking about how Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez just won the tag titles. And it's going to be the talk of the summer in NXT in the women's division when Cora Jade turns on Roxanne Perez. And let's be honest, 99.9% of you out there thought my idea was nuts, stupid. They just won the tag titles. DT, how can you do it? Somebody even sent me a little financial gift asking me, did I have a news source or was this just intuition? Well, I will tell you tonight why for the last 2 weeks I said that this was happening. And sure enough, last night it did. The execution, though, using particle board, trying to make a custom skateboard, because we don't really want Roxanne Perez to get an injured back. You all go buy a skateboard and then tell someone that you love, preferably a female that's shorter than 5'4", say, look, I want you to get on all fours. Not for that, but I want to whack you with this skateboard. Tell me if you go, ouch. Trust me, something tells me that you're going to get a kick upside the head. Yeah, I had to show a little love for my Mets tonight. Honestly, I was just lazy. I did a boatload. I did so much shit today, you have no idea. I am so tired. That's why when I announced earlier that we were only going an hour today, yeah, partly is because I'm tired, but we really don't need to extend the NXT and AEW talk to 90 minutes tonight. We could have a nice tight hour. I think tight is good, except for a wallet. You don't want a tight bankroll. But look, we got new AEW tag team champions in Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. I like it. My only problem with it is I don't see them holding these titles for more than maybe 4 to 6 weeks at the most. And the only reason why I even say it's that long is because you know they're not going to be defending it every single week on Dynamite or Rampage, or even be featured other than maybe a promo for the next 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, things that sometimes should happen within a month happen in 2 to 3 months because AEW, look, we were joking last week about Athena, you know, and look where that has ended up. I mean, do you feel there's been any progress since the former Ember Moon is signed with AEW? Come on. You know, Thunderstorm won a challenge, the whole women's tag team division. We don't have tag team titles. And we're now revisiting Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter after all of this. I'm not really complaining. But you look at the women's division 6 months ago, with the exception of one or two new names. Where is the progress? None. A little surprising that Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee won the championships tonight. Look, I said it the last time Hobbs and Starks was in a tag team title match. I want fucking Hobbs and Starks to be the champions. Nothing against Swerve. Shit. I just realized it. Every week, I wear the Hit Row hat. I keep it backwards. Not that I'm embarrassed or anything. You know, I have many black hats. I just, you know, it's my little way of showing support. I like Swerve Strickland. And you know I'm a huge fan of Keith Lee. Keith Lee was my favorite NXT wrestler before things started going downhill. But, you know, Hobbs and Starks have been in there for years. And they can't fucking break through. You know, and you could see the fans are behind these guys and they're heels. So why it is so difficult to finally feel like you're rewarding people who have been there for a while, who have busted their ass when given the opportunity, who have clawed and done a good job. Tell me how many people, seriously, in the 3+ years that AEW has been around, how many people can you say have been there, not since day one, but have been there for quite some time, who you feel have been rewarded with championship gold, with a push, not just filling in a spot because we want to have three tag teams on a show. Seriously, come up with five. Come up with five. All right? Maybe a couple of TNT title runs. Yeah, possibly. But you tell me, people, in the last year, who have been rewarded? There's not that many. There's very, very few, if you think about it. So, let's talk about AEW first. By the way, a little tidbit, and I knew this was true. I remember it being talked about a few years ago, and I had to do research to pull it. And it had to do with Jericho talking about being in the first ever Canadian barbed wire match back in the early 90s. Believe it or not, that actually is true. This is legit. January 29th, 1993. This was actually an Instagram post that Jericho posted, I think, back in 2018. Back in January of 93, he faced Beef Wellington in the first ever Canadian barbed wire match. What he doesn't mention is that he fucking won that night. And he won a championship that night. Pretty interesting. Yeah, you mentioned the barbed wire match, but you don't even mention that you won and got a championship out of it. Yeah, that was Jericho back then. You know, right before Thrill Seekers started becoming a phenomenon. Something about a phenomenon. Something about a phenomenon. So, little history tidbit. So when Jericho said that today, he actually was telling the truth. So, all right. Let's get into AEW. Now, look, like I said, there was the good, there was the bad, there was the ugly. And listen, everyone, I tell it like it is. I don't hate on things just to hate. I don't shit on things just shit on them. I express criticism. I want things to get better. But the one thing about pro wrestling, whether you've been watching for 5 minutes or 30 years, one thing about pro wrestling, it's just like going to a movie. You know when you walk into the movie theater what you're about to see on TV, on your screen, unless it's a documentary or if it's, you know, something real. You know, your suspension of disbelief is supposed to kick in full effect. Whether it's a scary movie, whether somebody saves the world, during the time the movie is on, you forget that what you're watching is scripted entertainment. You know, when you see like a vicious killer or Jason, whoever it is, you know, they want you to feel like what you're watching is real. And when that happens, you know those are movies at its finest. Same thing with pro wrestling. When you're watching it, you want that suspension of disbelief of good guy battling bad guy, or better yet, rival battling rival. You know it's scripted entertainment. But while that bout is going on, you want to forget about all of that. You want to feel that they truly want to beat the crap out of each other. And that's why little things really perturb me the wrong way. And as long as AEW keeps this formula that even Wardlow and Orange Cassidy opened up Dynamite tonight. And we had the comedy, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with the Orange Cassidy comedy. No problems with it whatsoever. You know, best friends bringing a toy chainsaw to the ring. You know, Goofy, the referee's like, chainsaw, you going to use it as a weapon? Honestly, if I was the referee, I would turn around, go ahead, use it. I want to see how you're going to use it. Let me see. Show me. But best friends get ejected. So we get a lot of the comedy stuff, which is fine. Orange Cassidy could go. We know he could go. But this is Wardlow. Unstoppable force. Even if it's Orange Cassidy, that match should have ended many minutes earlier. And then you have Orange Cassidy be the first person to kick out of the F10. You know when someone should kick out of the F10? When Wardlow is main eventing WrestleMania. And that has never happened before. Because a couple of weeks from now, nobody's going to fucking look at Orange Cassidy and say, hey, he kicked out of the F10. It's awful. That is stupid. AEW has this formula. We joke about it during the watch parties on Friday nights. We joke about it. We look at the time and we say, look, anybody that's live right now that is in the watch parties, tell me if I'm lying. About 5-6 minutes before Rampage goes off the air, I do the same thing every Friday night. I say, okay, everybody, here we go. We're going to see finishes that should be the count of three. That'll be 2 7/8. Okay, we'll see another finisher. Here it comes, and it's going to be a premature ejaculation. Like, you see every finish of every main event on every Rampage, someone who should kick out of a finisher does not. And there's this fascination that, you know, sure, you go back to the Earl Hebner days. 1, 2, and then you go like this. And be like, oh, yeah, it's fun. But it's a formula for AEW, and when it happens every fucking match, it gets annoying. You'll watch an Orange Cassidy kicking out of an F10. Why? Because we can't have someone just get pinned. We have to have them kick out of finisher after finisher after finisher. Moves that people should be in a wheelchair afterwards, they always got to kick out. That is the fucking formula every goddamn match. And what happens in every match is it goes too long. Everybody's going to have a long match. Wardlow versus Orange Cassidy should have been 3-4 minutes sooner. Anna Jay versus Serena Deeb, with all due respect, I know they like Anna Jay. I know they don't want to hurt Anna Jay's feelings. Anna, you got to lose in 90 seconds tonight. Nobody. You know when somebody loses in 90 minutes, you could hear it in, look, you can never have watched AEW in your life. Never watched AEW in your life. You hear Justin Roberts. You could hear in the tone of Justin Roberts' voice when a match is going to go too long or if it's going to go 90 seconds. Because Justin Roberts would be like, Lucha de Phoenix or Wardlow. Freshly sweet. But then it's like John Vickers and Leo Strong. You know, that's what it is. Leo Rush and Bear Country. Roughing it. You know, when you hear his voice, John Moxley! And Rob Santana. That's when you know the fucking match is going to end in 2 seconds. Am I wrong? This is a fucking formula every single week. I don't want to feel like I'm looking. And you know, it's funny. I saw quite a few people write this tonight, and I've seen it before, but I saw it tonight more than I've seen in recent weeks. People are like, I feel like I'm watching the same shit every match. You know, like match goes on extra long. We get false finish, false finish, false finish, false finish. People got to hit their finishers, kick out, kick out, kick out, just so the fans could go, or the announcers go, oh! And that's a problem. You know what's another problem? This. Now, I can only show you a couple of seconds of it. Maybe I could show it like this. All right, it's not the perfect video, but I could show you like this. Did you see this move tonight on AEW? You got Ricky Starks and one of the Young Bucks climbing the rope, all right? Now, I just want you to pay attention to Ricky Starks. Now, Ricky Starks is climbing the rope, and I want to, what is that, Matt Jackson? All right, I want you to look at Matt Jackson while Ricky Starks is climbing the rope, all right? I'm going to hit play. I can only play a couple of seconds. We don't want any copyright issues here, but I want you to just watch this. Just watch what he does. Here we go. Watch.
Oh, let me walk with you. Oh, let me walk with you. Look, I'm watching.
And you got Swerve Strickland, Matarazzo, on the other side of the ring.
Oh, let me walk with you. Oh, this looks like fun. Oh, we used to do this in the pool. Look, we're just walking there.
And then little comedy father, and these motherfuckers are just standing there watching it. That's not LMFAO. That's fucking not even, that's like ruining suspension of disbelief. You know, I mean, when The Undertaker climbs the rope, the guy that he's holding the arm is usually like, like, almost looks like a zombie. Now, acting like he's out of it. These fucking guys are walking with him.
Walk this way!
Awful. Awful. And people don't want to fucking admit it. This is niche wrestling. As long as you have that formula that everything's got to go too long, that everybody, except, you, again, just listen to Justin Roberts' pitch, and you could tell who's going to have a too long of a match and who's going to have a very, very short match. As long as you have that formula, as long as you have the overscripted stuff, you know, it's going to be a niche audience. People want their suspensions disbelieved. They want to feel like when people are fighting each other in the match, they want to feel like they're truly opponents. They don't want to feel like, well, they're making music. Oh, this is an art form. Oh my God, look, they walk the ropes. Oh my God, this is awesome. You know, if you want beautiful, synchronized wrestling ballet where you know that nobody in the ring is really fucking foes. They're just putting on an artistic performance. If you want that, I totally respect that. I really mean that. I will never call you out for that. And I do like AEW, but it's things like this that prevents me from going all in. Just expressing my opinion. As long as that's the formula, it'll always be a niche product. Notice that you only pop ratings based on who appears, not what actually happens. You know, oh my God, we got a surprise. I got to tune in. Oh, we're going to have not just a barbed wire match. We're going to have a barbed wire anywhere match. Because we know that Jericho, what he's going to do and not do. So it's going to be anywhere. And someone else is going to show up as a surprise, you know. But it's always got to be a gimmick, a surprise, a newbie. You know, that's the only way to spark the rating. You know, it's like when I used to compete with old wrestling podcasts like In Your Head and others. You know, when we used to get crazy numbers. Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. We used to get crazy numbers. We bragged our asses off. Why? Because when you used to click on our channel or our shows, you knew that for whatever length the show was, you were getting the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. You were getting those two guys doing a show. If I'm doing a solo show, you know you're tuning in for this guy. If you're tuning in to Soup, you know you're tuning in to Mish and Joey Numbers. You're tuning in to anybody out there. You know you're tuning. When you used to tune into In Your Head and others, oh my God, Bischoff is on. Oh my God, Diamond Dallas Page is on. Oh my God, hell yeah, we got Steve Austin on. And the only way they would pop numbers is based on who was appearing, not necessarily the hosts themselves. And as soon as they ran out of guests and they had to keep bringing on Hardbody Harrison
or fucking Elix Skipper. You remember the time when you walked the top of the cage on TNA? How does that feel? What'd you think? Did you think you could get a fall? You know, what's up with that Pez head of yours? I always want to, like, jerk it and see if candy comes out of your mouth, you know? I mean, once they ran out of guests, there's only so many times that you could fucking talk to, you know, Joe Schmuck. And psh, numbers went down. And then, hey, guys, you know, I have to take a mental break for a little while, you know? And, yeah, some people really do. But, you know, those people, when they realize, you know, they're just spitting in the wind, pissing in the wind, and there's nobody there to get hit in the face, they're out of there. So, Orange Cassidy takes on Wardlow. I didn't like the match at all. Tope Suicida looked like shit. He pushed Wardlow twice into the corner post, and Wardlow looked like a fumbling idiot putting his hands in front of the post. It was very, very scripted. It just should have been comedy, dominance, sign of respect afterward. You could have some schmuck run down the ring and try to interfere with both of them. Could have been fucking, who could have been? Scorpio Sky. You could have had comedy, dominance, pin. Before we think of anything, here comes Dan Lambert, Scorpio Sky, and the rest of the America's top schmucks. And then we forget about the match we just saw. But no, we got to go pitcher and pitcher. We have to have Orange Cassidy kick out of an F10. You know, this is not, you know, wrestling cannot be like caterpillars or worms. You ever have a worm, a nightcrawler, or a caterpillar when you were a kid, and somehow you got hold of a knife and you're like, and you cut the worm in half, and you're like, oh my God, look, one is going this way, one is going this way. Look like Mansoor's double penis in his pants on Friday SmackDown. You ever cut a worm in like 3-4 pieces and they're all like still like moving around? You know, you can't have that. You know, that everybody still kicks out and survives every fucking little thing. 5 times, pitcher and pitcher. You're right, Chaos. So Wardlow wins. Blah, blah, blah. Jericho interview. I'm not standing before you as Chris Jericho. I'm not standing before you as Sports Entertainer, The Wizard. I am standing before you as the living legend and Eddie Kingston superior. We've taken out everybody who is involved with Eddie Kingston, from Santana Ortiz, Brian Danielson, Ruby Soho. He says that he won the first ever Canadian Battle Royal at the age of 22. He was telling the truth. And he's going to beat the fuck out of Eddie Kingston next week. Eddie Kingston digresses. So now we get John Moxley. John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita. Yes, we pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Konosuke, whatever you want to be. Look, good match. Good match. He bled. He did probably better than anybody who has battled toe-to-toe with Moxley lately. Is he going to get in the Blackpool Combat Club? Are you going to put Takeshita in there? Are you going to consider it? No. Great match, good brawl, you know, championship contenders match. By the way, this was the card for tonight, championship contenders match. But in a losing effort, ultimately John Moxley with the Death Rider into the Bulldog choke. Takeshita cannot continue. Excellent match, sign of respect. The guy could go. I mean, there are some Japanese talent that come to the States. The fans actually start to like and invest. And he's one of them. I honestly have no complaints about him. The only complaint I do have is this motherfucker is on TV every single week. Not even Dark and Elevation. He's on Rampage or Dynamite. Yet, we got other people that are like 66-6 that never get on TV. Case in point. I'm going to say it. You think Tony Khan this week with a megaphone to the locker room? Hey, does anybody out there have a dead father? Anybody out there's father died, preferably who was in wrestling? Brian Pillman Jr. I have an idea. Yo, dude, I got an idea. Yo, Christian, yo, I got a perfect idea. Dude, dude, Christian, talking about Jungle Boy's dead father. We'll talk about your dead father. And Griff Garrison, for some reason, you're going to look like you're at Walt Disney World. I'm going to pose in front of plants. Griff Garrison poses in front of plants. You look like Jungle Boy. Lucha, he looks like Jungle Boy. Get him. The fucking Varsity Blondes have not been on TV in how fucking long? Whatever happened with Julie Hart leaving them? Julie, why? Awful. And next week, we got the Varsity Blondes back taking on Luchasaurus and Christian Cage so they could get beat the fuck out of for a second week in a row. Come on, man. Seriously, let's be honest. You know, Luchasaurus tonight destroys Griff Garrison. I'm telling you, if you didn't see Dynamite tonight, you got to look at the picture of Griff Garrison. It looks, I got to be very careful how I say it. It just looks like he's at Disney World. Like, hey, I'm at the Animal Kingdom. Let me pose in front of plants. Hey, you kind of, dude, he looks like Jungle Boy. Dude, you got to pose in front of a cactus tree. Acme Instafeud. I know that's a flash from Don Tony Hotlines of Pest. Acme Instafeud. Darby Allin's at an autograph signing. Brody King beats him up. No reason whatsoever. Everybody this weekend, Brody King beat up Darby Allin at an autograph signing. I wonder why. Yeah, that was because now they're going to face each other on Dynamite next week. So Acme Instafeud. All right, fine. It's better than them going up against Penta, Ray, Fenix. Pac is overseas. We got some news about AEW going to the UK next year. So, after we see Darby Allin get it beat up by Brody King, right afterwards we see John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Hangman Page. John Silver wants to beat up the House of Black, so we got that match on Rampage. Wait, we just saw Brody King attack Darby, sets up a match next week, and then just random, we're going to get the Dark Order taking on the House of Black on Rampage. So, all right, Jericho Appreciation Society cuts a little promo. This is more for Daniel Garcia to hype up his match against Yuta Michinoku at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which I will not be ordering. I'm not spending $40 on that. If the promotion was back on some sort of full-time basis, if they were doing house shows, if they were touring, I don't even need TV right now. Not every 4 months we have an event, charge people a lot of money for it, put money, try to recover somehow. You know, I'm Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. Serena Deeb, I want that Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. Somebody should make a goofy song out of it. The fucking promotion's on hiatus. You might as well bring out the WCW titles and do a pay-per-view every fucking 3 months, 4 months. Tell me what the difference is. Tell me what the difference is. There is no difference. The promotion is not active. The only thing that's active is the name, and they're using the belts. You could buy any closed-down promotion and do the same fucking thing, not spending $40 on it. Unfortunately, I probably won't be covering All Out either. Not because I'm suddenly anti-AEW. I'm getting married September 3rd. The next day, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, do I get wasted? I don't think I'm going to be up all night. No. I don't know what I'm going to feel like Sunday, September 4th. But on the screen right now, for those on audio only, AEW announced this week that All Out will be returning to Chicago at the Now Arena. In fact, the Now Arena is going to be hosting Dynamite that Wednesday the 31st, Rampage Friday the 2nd, and Sunday, September 4th. Buff Kid, where's the wedding? In a hall. I know a lot of people are complaining. The Now Arena, that's so small. The Now Arena. You know, look, this is something that I've said before. It's about logistics. And they booked the same building for all week. All Out all week. Actually, that's just how they should hype it up. Hey, Tony, make it all out all week. Easy, easy peasy. Other building may not have been available for all those dates. So this was the deal he did. Some people were like, well, Don Tony, Clash of the Castle is September 3rd. It's the day before. Yeah. I don't really know anyone that has to pay $59.99 to watch Clash of the Castle unless maybe you're attending live and in person. And breaking news, Clash of the Castle is not happening in Chicago. It's not even happening in the United States of America. Most people get it included with their Peacock subscription. So it's not about money. It's about location and, you know, availability. That is why we have All Out all week at the Now Arena. So that was announced. And, you know, I might as well throw this out there now as far as a little news tidbit. Jim Ross was on his podcast, Grill and JR, on adfreeshows.com. And he was talking about the Atlantic title. You know, he gave his opinions on the belt, which is fine. But then it led into something else. And this is the exact quote from Jim Ross. As far as going to the United Kingdom, AEW, he says, quote, I know that we're going to go places like Pac is defending the title now in the UK. When are we coming to England? When are we going to do a pay-per-view in England? Well, when are you going to do this? You could bet your ass that it's going to be big. Tony's got great business contacts there. Jim Ross said that AEW will be going to the United Kingdom in the next calendar year. Now, 2022 is out of the question because we're already into the latter part of the year. You would have to announce it, put tickets on sale. I mean, it's possible, but I don't see AEW going to the UK at the end of the year. So Jim Ross says that this is happening in over the next calendar year, which means in 2023, AEW will be in England, the UK. Now, of course, you know, with COVID still wreaking its ugly head and is still going to be around for the foreseeable future, that could obviously hamper things. You know, so if it doesn't happen, I wouldn't hold it against AEW, but they really are working on coming to the UK in 2023. Kevon Lewis thinks it won't sell out in the UK. I totally disagree. I totally disagree. AEW, you know, if you look, they have so much top talent. They're going to sell out wherever they go. Period. Period. And look, All Out, September 4th. CM Punk should be back by then. You know, remember the timeline. Remember the injury. And remember when it happened. We said 3 to 4 months. By the time All Out happens, that is almost 3 months from Forbidden Door. CM Punk should be back by All Out. You may end up getting an AEW title unification match at All Out. Bryan Danielson, you know, I don't see too many people concerned about Bryan Danielson being out. I'm not trying to hype it, but you think about Bryan Danielson when he was forced into retirement. You always got to worry a little bit extra when it comes to those injuries. But anywhere they go, I think they sell out. They put all their top talent on pay-per-view. Sure, it would sell out. So, getting back to tonight, we get Claudio Castagnoli beating Jake Hager. You know, they fought many times. I think Excalibur mentioned that they fought 8 times or 12 times. I think 12 times in the past, Claudio had 8-4 win advantage, make it 9-4 tonight. The match was okay. It was kind of like a WWE match, if you want to be honest. The one thing that turned me the fuck off was Cesaro does the swing. Claudio does the swing into the sharpshooter. And Jake Hager almost feels like he's got to tap out. he's trying to get help. He's trying to signal to the Jericho Appreciation Society, come to the ring, I need help. So you get, you know, a couple of members to the ring, and this was awful. You have Matt Menard climb the side apron, and then Claudio knocks him on his ass. Look at the referee during that. The referee looked like he was stoned out of his mind. He was like, he had no reaction. When you climb the fucking ring and you're not a manager, you just ejected best friends a few minutes ago. You climb the fucking apron and you're trying to interfere in a match. At least get off your lazy, bald ass and fucking like, hey, what are you doing? Get down. No, I swear to God, this was the referee's reaction when he climbed the rope. Looked like Linda McMahon in a wheelchair. And then this was the reaction when Claudio went to hit him. And then this was the reaction after Claudio knocked him on his ass. And how long could I do this without blinking my eyes? Oh, I can't do it no more. I'm sorry for those in audio only. Oh, look at the referee. I'm not kidding. Give me some of that Xanax. What the fuck were you on? I mean, come on, man. Stupid shit, man. Stupid. Stupid. Stupid is that stupid does. Stupid. Stupid. I think I went pretty long. Now, I could have gone longer. I think the trick is when you don't blink, like look the other way, and maybe it like sneaks a little moisture and you don't realize it. You just do this. It's kind of like Chris Van Vliet with the eyes instead of the teeth. All right. So Claudio beats Hager. Footage of Thunder Rosa losing in Japan to Nobara Give a Shitta. Nah, I'm only kidding. She's actually pretty good. Mayu Yamashita. If you've never seen her work, go on YouTube. She's actually wrestled in the States before. She came in 2019, and a lot of people took notice in her work. She won with a fruit roll-up with Thunder Rosa, so now she gets an AEW title shot. She's coming to AEW for a little while. She will be booked on other shows as well. She's actually pretty good. Mayu Yamashita. She's an up-and-coming star. She's not, you know, legend, veteran or anything, but she's pretty good. And, you know, she had a decent match with Thunder Rosa in Japan. So Nobara Give a Shitta is not her real name. So just Don Tony being a dick. Serena Deeb versus Anna Jay. We knew the outcome. You're not going to have Serena Deeb go into a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And well, who had this? Okay, this was pretty funny. I saw this come in right before we went live from Liz Ellis. Dude! You had me laughing from what I said last night in NXT. Yeah, last night we were talking about like how everybody comes out to interfere right after matches end. It's like we were joking on Monday with AJ Styles. He tells The Miz, could you just shut up? Styles, you let him fucking talk for 5 minutes. After he's done, you tell him to shut up? Seriously? So yesterday we were joking. I might have even said this Monday too. I said, yeah, you see what's going to happen? Serena Deeb's going to beat the fuck out of Anna Jay. And as soon as the match is over, run! Run, Forrest! Run! Run, Mercedes! Run! And she runs down to the ring to make the save. It happens every fucking match. As soon as somebody went, go! Could you imagine, especially if Tony Khan has been up for more than 18 hours, and he's on no-dos. Could you imagine him in the back? Go! All right, so Mercedes Martinez, now this is getting a little wacky. Mercedes Martinez comes out, makes a save. Somebody pointed out, yeah, Anna Jay, you're right, Steve Joseph, that was her hometown. What does that mean? She should have lost in a minute. No, we got to go pitcher in pitcher. You know, Wardlow, as this unstoppable force, we have to feel like he's an unstoppable force. Not that Orange Cassidy could take him for 12 minutes. When you have Serena Deeb, and she's trying to be a viable threat for Mercedes Martinez, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor title, you want to feel like somebody is dominant. When somebody like Anna Jay could take her to a limit, you know, I mean, that's not very good. You want dominance. And that's what is missing so much in AEW. Record is not just dominance. Somebody could be 38-2. You say, well, that's dominance. But if that 38-2, if you take away Elevation and you take away Dark, and then you see the matches on TV and every match has got to go 11 minutes and you're pretty much winning by the skin of your teeth, you think Moxley should have gone that long with Takeshita earlier? Does it feel like anybody at any time could beat Moxley with matches like that? I mean, you got people saying fight forever. No, you want your fucking favorite to win and win significantly, have a significant win. All right. We had a promo by the baddies. We get some matches announced for Rampage and next week. Rampage Friday, Jonathan Gresham versus Lee Moriarty for the Ring of Honor title. The Guns explain their actions as if we didn't know them already. Private Party versus the Lucha Bros. Next week, we got the Barbed Wire Everywhere match. Is it going to be barbed wire all across the building? Brody King. Oh, my God. That's the problem when you have the same name. Brody King versus Darby Allin. And you got Christian and Luchasaurus versus the Varsity Blondes. Ty Conti feels bad for Anna. Anna, you should make better decisions. Is Anna Jay going to be joining the Jericho Appreciation Society? Is that what they're kind of teasing? I don't know. But anyway, the main event, as we already said, you had Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee win the AEW Tag Team titles, defeating the Young Bucks and Hobbs and Starks. You know, it was a decent match, flowed well, a lot of overly scripted shit. You know, I mean, let's be honest, some of those dives outside the ring looked a little bit scary. Hobbs, he could have very well have broken his leg. He didn't. He's okay. But if you watch the way he landed, that is a broken leg just waiting to happen. Keith Lee. You know, as agile as he is extremely heavy. You know, the health gods don't say, oh, the dive is awesome. We won't injure you. You keep doing that, and you're destined to tear something. I mean, you look at even somebody like Boogs, you know, and how he tore his shit. Someone that big, that heavy, is not supposed to dive from outside the ring, do a flip, and then land on cement, and nobody is catching your fall. If he was 150 pounds, even 200 pounds, and you catch him in the air, you get five people catching him, that's different. But when you dive and you just land on the cement, and just because people are close, it looks like you landed on everybody, but in actuality, you land on nobody, that's injuries waiting to happen. But I'm very happy they won. Now let's see where this goes from here. Not a bad episode of Dynamite. But in no way, shape, or form do I think that they're doing better than last week's rating in the nines. I would not be surprised if that rating goes back to the eights, only because, you know, some of the matches tonight, I mean, really, you know, I don't know, you know, if it would have kept the viewers. So, and look, you know, go back and look at the Young Bucks versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus... It was supposed to be the Hardys. Ended up being what that rating, that quarter hour was in the sevens. The Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express, that main event where the Jurassic Express lost the tag titles, that quarter hour was in the sevens. The Young Bucks, main eventing a Dynamite in the sevens. So it's not a guarantee that they're going to break nines. I hope they do, but I would not be surprised if they didn't. So, before we talk a little bit about NXT and get out of here, we have a little gift. Oh, no, that was last week. Oops, sorry. What are we giving away this week? Oh, the Shotzi Blackheart ass picture. Do I have the image available? I don't think I do. God damn it. I don't think I do. Yes, I do. Ah, yes, I do. Thank God. Yesterday we had the NXT watch party. As Corey Graves said Monday, Carmella is a badass with a nice ass. I think Shotzi gives her a run of her money. Somebody that was in a watch party yesterday is going to win those two autographed Shotzi photos. I know some of you are kind of mad that she wrote on top of her ass. Could you write it in the water next time? But that is a cool looking autographed photo, and somebody is going to win it right now. And if you want to be in on these, all you got to do, the font is bigger. All you got to do is just show up, hang out, get a little lively. You might get a double entry out of it. All right, who's going to win those two photos? Spin the wheel, make the deal, and then we'll talk a little bit about NXT, and let's get out of here. Let's go. All right. Who's winning those photos? Who's winning those photos? Shotzi. Who's winning? Sammy. Congrats to Sammy. Sammy, you, I think it's the first time you won, right? You get those Shotzi photos. Anybody missed out, no worries. I have a couple of those photos, so we could always do another giveaway soon. All right. We got to talk a little bit about NXT, and we absolutely need to talk about this. Wordy. All right. A week and a half, we had this. That was a little teaser. WWE's playing some little, you know, puzzle games for us to try to figure out who is going to be appearing. The problem is the person appearing may not be someone going by a name that we're aware of. So you could have Robert Roode show up, and if they decide to change his name and call him Meathead, like if they spell out Meathead, you know, I'd be like, holy shit, Robert Roode is here. You don't know. Wordy. I got to fix the spelling later. All right, fine. Anyway, bottom line is this. Yesterday, we figured out the name, which is, it's got to be the name. You go in the English dictionary, and you realize there's really only one name it could come out to. And I did a little research yesterday, and props to everybody who gave me props. Check this out. If you've never played a game like this, even if you're on audio only, I could explain it pretty easy. You know, I want to make this clear. Quinn, yes, that's the last name of Becky Lynch. Quinn, Becky, Cruz, Trick, Brock, Toxic. Those are not hints. Those are not hints on word to, what the word is. I saw so many people on social media say, like, what does it sound like a bad joke? What does Becky Lynch, Apollo Crews, Trick Williams, Brock Lesnar, and Toxic Attraction have in common? And I was like, you asshole. They all work for Vince McMahon, stupid. There is nothing in common. They just put words up there. They just put words up there that had letters that either matched or didn't match what the word is going to be. All right, now, let me explain what Wordle is. They want you to guess a word. So what they'll do is they will tell you, like you choose a letter. It's almost like Wheel of Fortune. You choose a letter, you choose two letters, and if the letter actually appears in the word that they're trying to get you to guess, they will highlight that letter. Now, what the color highlight is tells you if the letter you chose is in the right position. Now, for example, if you're looking at the screen right now, and if anybody goes and wants to check out the video afterwards, it's the 47-minute mark. You look on the screen, look, focus only on the letter C. In the name Becky, C is the third letter. It is highlighted in yellow. Cruz is the first letter in the name. That's highlighted in yellow. Trick and Brock, that's the fourth letter in the name. It is highlighted in yellow. What that tells you is that the letter C is in the name that you're looking for, but it is not in the right position. When the letter is in the right position, it will be highlighted in green. So when you see the green letter C in the name Toxic, you know that the word you're trying to figure out ends in a letter C. So now if you're on audio only, you think of a five-letter word that ends in a letter C. Somebody asked, how do you go to the watch party? There is the link. tinyurl.com/DTWatchParty. Go to my social media, at DonTonyD, click the link, and you can join us. All right, so we know the letter C is the last letter in the name. What about the letter O? Take note, none of these words have the letter O highlighted in green. In the word toxic, the O is highlighted in yellow, which tells you the O is not the second letter in the word. You look at Brock, the O is highlighted in yellow, which tells you that the O is not the third letter in the word, which means that the letter O could only be the first letter or the fourth letter. So either it's a five-letter word beginning with the letter O and ending in C, or it is a five-letter word with the last two letters being O, C. That's how you come up with it. The only word that anybody could come up with is the word Havoc. Is that the wrestler's name? Is that what the wrestler is going to do? But the word is likely Havoc. So now you have likely the word Havoc, and you have this, I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a date. I don't know if that's hours, minutes, and seconds. You know, the funny thing about it was I realized that the letter H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. So I was like, hey, Don Tony, did you just crack the code? The letter H is the eighth letter in the alphabet. Then I'm like, fuck, what does the number 10 represent? You can't figure it out. So I don't know what the hell it is. But I think the word is Havoc. Now, one other tidbit that I did research, so you don't have to. Some people thought Jessica Havoc. No, Chris, some people thought it out yesterday, and I'll give you the same answer now that I gave yesterday. Whoever this is, it's got to be a more powerful person. If Jessica Havoc shows up on NXT, people online are going to imitate the referee. They're going to be like, this is what the hype was for. It's got to be a bigger name, in my opinion. We could be wrong, but I think it's got to be a bigger name. You know, some people thought of Son of Havoc from Lucha Underground. Not a bad thought. But, you know, here's a little research that I did. Check this out. I guarantee you no one else has done this. I checked the entire WWE roster and the NXT roster. I looked at women, men, tag teams. There are WWE, check this out, WWE and NXT does not have one wrestler with a name ending in C. How crazy is that? Now look, maybe somebody's on the injured list that I'm not thinking about right now, but I checked every wrestler that is, now I didn't check NXT UK, but I checked NXT 2.0 and the WWE roster. There is not one wrestler with the letter C at the end of their name. How do you like that? I'm always trying to think a little bit further. Look, if my brain doesn't stop, if it stops being that active, I'm going to look like that referee permanently. I'm going to look like Linda McMahon in a wheelchair. Dominic, no, but Dominic's not a five-letter word. Dominic is not a five-letter word, John. We're talking about five-letter word here, ending in C. There's nobody. There is absolutely nobody. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, so we will see. We will see. Now, matches from yesterday. Jimena Vinci. Paulo Cruz, your kids can't be too proud of you. He cuts the promo last week, which should have been the week after he made his NXT return. My kids didn't even watch me on WWE television anymore. But now I'm back in NXT and they're so happy and they watch me every week. Yeah, they watched you in a diner. They watched you have one fucking match. Now you had two matches and you lost because Zion Quinn got involved in a match. Giovanni Vinci beats Apollo Crews. Tatum Paxley beats Caden Carter. the underappreciated buttock. Sanga over Duke Hudson. Sanga still wearing the Goldberg outfit with the white Sharpie with SG on his boots. You'd think after all this time, the motherfucker would have gotten it nice and stitched. You mean to tell me you don't have anybody that could stitch it for you? There's no marks out there. There's no rats, you know, in the, you know, stitching world. Like, can you stitch SG on my boots? You know, I don't know. It's just like white Sharpies. It looks cheap, man. It's not like this guy just became a wrestler. He's been around for a while. And Duke Hudson, man, I don't know what you do about Duke Hudson. It just seems ever since they released, what the fuck's his face? Oh, my God. Dexter Lumis. And then, you know, Persia Parata. I mean, Duke Hudson just, he's just there. I just, some people think since the Jake Atlas thing, no, I think it's much, much before that. They gave him the match with Bron Breakker, which was cool. But other than that, I don't know what the hell you do with Duke Hudson. I feel bad for the guy. He's got the look. He's got the talent. I don't know what you could. Maybe you make him be part of Chase University. Seriously. I'm fucking such a fan of Andre Chase right now. And we pop when we're in the chat room. All right, here comes the cursing. You motherfucker. Andre Chase cursing is like one of the funniest things. And look at me. I'm in my 50s and I'm still popping when people curse. Solo Sikoa and Von Wagner battled to a double countout. The battle yesterday that would not end. You have women in the back. Hey, look at my nails. Do you like the color of my nail polish? And then they show up brawling. It just would not end. And you got some goof. 10, 15, 20 minutes later, the match is over. The match is over. Stop. The match is over. Indy Hartwell over Last Legend. This was kind of cock-eyes. Indy Hartwell, I hope she didn't injure herself. Basically, Last Legend was looking in the corner and you see flames. And, you know, apparently Alba Fire had her basketball. Don't touch my basketball. And, you know, Last Legend is in a trance, falling in a trance. That was a good 80s song. But so what happens? Indy Hartwell climbs the top rope and we kind of sensed something bad was going to happen. If anybody goes and watches the replay of the watch party, you'll see what I'm talking about. She falls off that rope. She still got the pin, but when she rolled out of the ring, you saw her go, ow, 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 ow. Like she, I hope she didn't tear something. It did not look good. But, you know, you just hope that she didn't get injured. If she didn't get injured, you could chuckle a little bit, you know, lightheartedly, but that did not look good yesterday. Tony D'Angelo and Stax over Malik Blade and Idris Inofi. Afterwards, they're telling Legado, show your loyalty, and Legado does by beating the crap of Inofi and Blade. Then we find out that, oh, Santos Escobar has been released from the hospital, so he'll be back next week. Next week will be the turning point of this relationship. Be interesting to see what transpires. I have an idea, but I don't want to give it away. And then the main event, which started late, Mandy Rose retaining the NXT Women's Championship over Roxanne Perez. Early in the show, they had Roxanne Perez. The cameras found her laid out. And during the show, they were teasing who attacked Roxanne Perez. Now, you know, the sad thing about it is, you know, like, suspension of disbelief, obviously, but everybody becomes blind when they get attacked. You know, I mean, I know it might have the wrong impression, but, you know, pretend this is like, they could have stole the dyad hood. Nah, I'm not going to use props tonight. They could have stole the dyad hood. You know, you put the hood over the person's head, then you bash them in the head so they can't see who it is. Everybody gets attacked from behind. If I got attacked from behind, even if it hurt, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, nobody turns around to look, like, who attacks them? It would have been great if Roxanne Perez said, whoever attacked me wore a Rey Mysterio mask or something. But nobody ever sees their attacker. So during the night, people are denying that they had anything to do with it. Nikita Lyons, toxic attraction, blah, 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 blah. Cora Jade says, hey, I'll step up. I'll lay out Mandy Rose. Toxic attraction comes down to the ring. We don't see Roxanne. Instead, we see Cora Jade. We think we're going to get Cora Jade versus Mandy Rose instead. And I thought to myself, oh, if Cora Jade were to win that belt, that would be pretty fucking sweet. But no, no, no. We got to see what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. Cora Jade has got to attack, turn on Roxanne. And for the last 2 weeks, you motherfuckers are like, that makes no sense. Have you paid attention to Cora Jade's social media? I was talking about this on Patreon yesterday. You looking at the badass photos that she's posting when she's not dressed up for NXT? She is a badass bitch just waiting to break the fuck out of NXT. I've sensed it. Now, to the gentleman who said earlier, who said this? Big Sal. DT, how the hell did you sense that Cora Jade was going to turn on Roxanne? They just won the tag titles, yet you still thought she was turning. Well, I got two words for you, for real. Those are not the two words, but by the way, we're at an hour. We're going to have to go 15 minutes over. It's all good. I don't think anybody's going to complain. The two words, why I felt this coming, Nikita Lyons. I know right now you say to me, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? Okay. Nikita Lyons was the favorite to win the NXT breakout tournament. Now, follow me with this. You'll understand. By the way, thank you for that super chat. I really appreciate it. Let me throw out the scenario for all of you. Like my play on words, Jaded. Come on, man. When she lets her hair down and she starts coming out looking like that cocky bitch, you're going to be like, oh, my God. I had no idea Cora Jade had this in her. Oh, you wait. You wait and see what she does. Okay. Here's the deal. Nikita Lyons was the favorite to win the breakout tournament. WWE wants Nikita Lyons to have that NXT Women's Championship before 2022 is up. The injury, unfortunately, derailed her for a little bit, and in replacement, Roxanne Perez won that tournament. Now, why did I think Cora Jade was turning? Because these two are extremely close, and them feuding with each other, to me, works a trillion times better than them being champions. Because Toxic Attraction, if you've noticed, they really have not had any contenders seriously challenging them for the titles. You look at Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, for example. They lost it in your house. And then the following week, they're fighting for another shot. It's like, okay, bring another tag team. What the fuck? Why are they getting another opportunity? You realize how thin the NXT tag team women's roster is. So putting the titles on both of them didn't seem to make that much sense, because who do they feud with? Io Shirai is going back to Japan. Zoe Stark is not back yet on TV. So you have a whole bunch of newcomers that are still trying to find their way. You almost feel like these belts probably have to go back to Toxic Attraction once again because they're eye candy. Has anybody complained about Toxic Attraction's tag team title run? Has anybody really been like, wow, you know, their run has been pretty shitty? And no, people are like, oh my God, look at Gigi Dolan. Oh my God, you could bite on my rose any day of the week. That's what people care about. Sex appeal, you know, that sells. Anybody really like feel like, oh, Mandy Rose, she's had a run, that's enough? That no, people are like, you know, it is what it is. So here's where Nikita Lyons falls into all of this. Cora Jade, and just to answer this gentleman, you know, this was a hunch from yours truly. I did know that Nikita Lyons, they want to put the belt on her. Absolutely want to put the belt on her. What I believe is going to happen is next week, Cora Jade is going to have to explain her actions. And what I think is going to happen is Cora Jade, this is almost like, oh man, I might have just hit something.
I know this is far-fetched, but it's almost like the Sasha Banks-Naomi situation. Yes, this is DT's brain kind of on acid right now. Not for real, but it's almost like the Sasha Banks-Naomi situation. Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez just won the tag titles. And imagine how Cora Jade feels where they won the tag titles and instead of putting up the titles and accepting challenges from everyone else, the following week, Roxanne Perez announces that she is going to fight for the women's championship, that she's going to cash in her opportunity. You just won the tag titles with your best friend, and the first thing you want to do is now go for the heavyweight championship against Mandy Rose. That is the only scenario I could see, that you didn't care that much about the tag titles. You're caring about yourself. It's selfish. You know, do I think it's a direct shot to Naomi and Sasha? No. But I could see how people could, say, oh, they taking a shot. But the deal is, by having Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade feuding with each other while they're champions, one or two things will happen. Either those titles will be stripped, which I know. I don't want that to happen because you see what's going on with the main roster's tag titles. It's like, what the fuck? They could also be forced to defend those titles even though they do not get along. We have had teams like that before. Not on the level. I wouldn't put Cena and David Otunga on that level. But we have had people who did not get along, who were feuding, kind of, that were tag team champions. Another scenario is that Cora Jade intentionally loses those titles, attacks Roxanne, walks off, lets her get the shit knocked out of her, and the titles are dropped. That would make no sense, because why would Cora Jade not want to be a champion right now? Edge Benoit, good one. Angle Benoit, good one. So I think that is going to be where this goes. Now, here's the deal also. By having Roxanne Perez be selfish and thinking about her instead of the team, this takes Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade out of the women's championship scene for the foreseeable future. I know them simply as tag team champions would have kept them out, not necessarily because Cora Jade, you saw what happened. Roxanne went for the title anyway. So by having Cora and Roxanne feuding with each other, whether they remain tag team champions or not, they don't focus on Mandy Rose anymore. So that leaves Mandy Rose with no opponent. So now with Roxanne and Cora Jade feuding with each other, here comes Nikita Lyons. And Nikita Lyons versus Mandy Rose will be a match coming up sooner than later. And Nikita Lyons could very well end up winning that NXT Women's Championship. And she will be the focal point. And if you look at a lot of the women coming up on that ladder, quite a few of them are heels. And Natalya could show up at any time. You could have somebody else from the main roster show up at any time. You got Mandy Rose that is still there. I think Mandy Rose is going to be back on the main roster before you know it. Mandy Rose is definitely an asset for the main roster. Just right now with that scene, it's very, very, it's very deep. Mandy Rose is not going to leapfrog a lot of the women that are on Raw and SmackDown right now. But they go to the main roster. If Toxic Attraction goes to the main roster, I think it's still too soon, but that could very well happen. So this feud takes the focus off of the tag titles a little bit because they're not going to be defending it as a cohesive unit. Them feuding with each other takes the focus off of them and Mandy Rose. Here comes Nikita Lyons. So that's where we see this going. So, I like it, I don't know, I just had that weird feeling about it. I get those once in a while. I get these weird vibes, and I'll throw out an idea, and people will be like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then it happens, so. All right. Let's start bringing this home, everybody. Next week, I think private party. Pretty Deadly are going to win those NXT UK tag titles, and they'll be back in England. And that'll be it for Pretty Deadly on the U.S. roster for the foreseeable future. If you've noticed, we have had U.S. wrestlers going to NXT UK and vice versa. A-Kid is going to debut as Axiom next week. There's a little bit of dispute if he's going to keep the mask on in the ring or if he's going to wear it to the ring and then take it off. We won't know until next week. All right. So, with that said, Devin M., shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the two spot. Moxley, going that long with that Japanese guy is wild. I agree, man. I mean, I like Fight Forever when it makes sense. When it makes sense. When it's two people that I am rooting for pretty evenly. Yeah. And then some of my favorites, let them battle all night long. But Moxley should have won significantly. You know, what does that say about Moxley that everybody he fights has got to take 15 minutes? What does that say about Wardlow with a comedy guy that he has to take that fucking long and then the comedy guy kicks out of an F10? Can you imagine if Wardlow was in WWE and he was that dominant? You would see nobody kick out of the F10 until it was a WrestleMania main event match. And then everybody would have that look on his face, like that guy when The Undertaker lost. You have everybody ringside, like, with those beady eyes. Like, he just kicked out of the F10. Some random fucking guy in jeans kicks out of the F10. That says it all. That says it all. Just so the crowd could be like, oh, two count. All right. King of Games 405, thank you for the five spot, my friend. When do I think is the right time to bring back MJF? Now. 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 Don't let it overshadow CM Punk. CM Punk's going to be back sooner than people realize. You know, All Out is less than 2 months away. I should know because every day I'm like, oh my God, 50 days left and I'm getting mad. So it's the day before. So trust me, I'm counting down the days. Just like everyone else is counting down the AEW. So you need MJF back on that TV. The question is when, where, and how do they do it? But I will continue saying it. As long as Tony Khan never publicly rips MJF and shoots down that type of unprofessional behavior, you realize it's storyline. Or Tony Khan is an absolute pussy, petrified of MJF, which I don't believe is true. It's a storyline, and because he's not a creative booking genius that is a veteran, you know, he doesn't know how to fuck to answer this stuff. So he just, I don't want to talk about it. Every time he's on Busted Open, I would be grilling him with that. What's up with MJF? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's pretty much what he's there. Guys, I don't want to talk about it. I think you all understand what I mean by that. All right. So that is it with the supers. So we're going to get out of here in about two minutes. DT has the WrestleMania Day counter. Yeah, I do. I actually have a counter inside. I'm getting a little nervous because I still have to order like party favors. I realized today I didn't get anything for the best man. I didn't get anything for, you know, I only have three people in my wedding party. I wasn't even going to do a wedding party, but I don't know. Getting a little nervous. By the way, speaking of Impact, yeah, I want to mention this. Impact is going to be in Louisville this Friday and Saturday doing tapings for their upcoming TV. Reason why I mention it is because a familiar face will be making his debut in Impact. That is Kushida. So for all of you out there that miss Kushida, he will be fighting Friday against Rich Swann. They will be doing a couple of TV tapings for Impact. So Friday they announced Kushida versus Rich Swann, Alex Shelley versus Chris Sabin. How many times have we seen that? Chelsea Green and Deonna Purrazzo versus Jordan Grace and Mia Yim.
Ace Austin and Chris Bay versus Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. On Saturday, they're advertising Mike Bailey versus Rocky Romero. I think it's for the X Division title. Motor City Machine Guns versus Joe Doering and Cody Deaner. Kushida versus to be announced. So, you know, interesting card. I honestly, for the life of me, don't know what the fuck that draws. I mean, they're going to Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, no disrespect to any of those guys involved. Other than Kushida, nobody would get me out of my house to go see it live. Unless I was working it. You know, but Kushida is the only one there that I'd be interested in seeing. And, you know, that's terrible. That's terrible. By the way, NXT's rating this week, they went down about 8,000 viewers from the week before. Remember, their average is right around 590 for the year. So right now, they are pretty much hitting their average. Now, will this storyline with Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade start spiking numbers? If Cora Jade starts dressing what I've been told her look and letting her bouffant hair start coming out, she's going to be that nasty bitch that people want to see get the shit knocked out of her. Oh, how could we leave the show without showing this? If I'm going to show this fucking botch, this awful stuff earlier with the Young Bucks and swerving Ricky Starks, I got to show this. I got to show this. How did we forget this? Look on your screen, everybody. Cora Jade, we felt bad for her yesterday, but wrestle crap is wrestle crap. And this was awful. I don't know whose idea it was to make a fake skateboard so Roxanne Perez could be hit with it and it look good. You would think that if you're going to make something like this, you make five of them and you practice on three or four of them to make sure that this does not break apart before your very eyes. Because here's the thing, whoever came up with this idea really should get hit over the head with a real skateboard. Whatever this material was, we thought it might be particle board. Somebody brought up a different type of material yesterday, which I looked up and they could have been very well correct as well. She glued, or somebody behind it, and I think it's Cora Jade that did it because she's got the skateboard gimmick. I think that she comes up with some of her own, you know, look. And I, Balsa, thank you, Benjamin. Yeah, you said it yesterday, Balsa. I think it was Balsa. But Cora Jade glued real skateboard wheels to balsa or particle board. That is like trying to have sex with a limp biscuit. Like, you're just asking for disaster. So what does Cora Jade do? Cora Jade comes out with a skateboard that is thinner than a piece of loose leaf paper. And it is painted over, so it looks like a skateboard. She goes on Amazon probably and buys a pair of skateboard wheels, something very, very light, and glues it and figures, okay, I won't grab the skateboard by the wheels because that side is very, very heavy. Instead, I will hold the other side. You moron. You leave the wheel side exposed. You expose the heavy side of it. So when you pick it up in the air and gravity forces that to be through the air, this is the result. Oh my God! I don't have slow-mo here. Oh my God. Let's look at that again. Maybe when you watch this back, everyone, you put the show on 25.25 speed. And I will fuck it up for you even more because right now I'm going to go, oh my God. Oh God. You, and I say this lightheartedly, you idiot. She grabs, look at, you could see the skateboard. I know it's very, very hard to see it, But if you look at your screen, you could see to the left of the skateboard is the wheels. That side is so goddamn heavy, and she holds it by the wrong side. It's almost like if you have, I'm trying to think of something that you could hold. Like, I'm trying to think of something. All right, it's all right, like a ruler. Do I have a ruler? I don't think I have a ruler. All right, I don't have a ruler. But it's like you're holding a ruler, all right? Or better yet, let's say you're like somebody from Hawaii that has like the baskets on the head, or Africa, when they walk with the baskets on the head. They're very, very talented. They lift it with water and they balance it on the head and they just walk down the street. Now imagine that only one side of the basket is filled with water. And instead of compensating for that side, you decide, hey, I'm going to put it the opposite side on my head. It's going to tilt the fuck over. It's going to tilt the fuck over. Unbelievable. I mean, look at this one more time. She lifts it up. And she doesn't use the heavy side. So as she lifts it up, that balsa board is like, oh, fucking no way. Ain't no way. We're not cooperating with the program. And it just breaks into three pieces. One more time, everybody. Just watch it. You see the wheels? You see the wheels? See the wheels? Look, now she goes downwards to get momentum. So when she lifts it up with a lot of force, and then she's going to whack somebody at it. The problem is the heavy side is exposed. So as soon as she picks it, look, there it goes. The wheels are like, see ya. See ya. Don't want to be ya. Unbelievable. So she's left with the limp biscuit. Oh, look at that. Oh, you. Oof. 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 Is that oof? Oof. One more time, everyone. One more time. Now, there are wheels on the opposite side. There are wheels on the opposite side. She grabs it by the middle, which is the weakest part of the entire board. So she lifts it up. Look, she's got it. There it goes. There it goes. The wheels are just like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Boom. Boom. Yeah. I felt bad for her. I'm a Cora Jade fan. I mean, that shit could happen to anyone. But that's an example of somebody that did not practice it beforehand. You start playing arts and crafts instead of using fiberglass. Your skateboards are like fiberglass and stuff. I could crack a skateboard against a wall and that shit ain't breaking. You know, that shit hurts. So I don't blame them for improvising. But if you're going to go buy particle board or balsa and you at least fucking say, will this hold up? Gee, will this hold up? Unbelievable. Arts and crafts. You know, I'm tempted to buy some balsa and turn it into a skateboard and glue some wheels on it and do the very same thing. I'm tempted. Should I do it? Should I do it? Seriously, it only costs me about 10 bucks. I'll go on Amazon tomorrow. Fuck, Prime Day is over. I'll go on Amazon tomorrow. I'll buy some balsa. I'll cut it into the shape of a skateboard. Maybe we'll put like some like, you know, like contact paper over it, draw some lines, and I'll glue the wheels to it. And I'll pick it up. With my luck, though, the wheels will probably break the fucking camera that's looking at me right now. I think we should do it. Seriously. Maybe I'll do a video of just making the skateboard. So we'll see. I know with my luck, the wheels will go flying and either clock me in the head, break a light, break the camera, break my window, hit something in the back, and trust me, a lot of that shit in the back, I glued it 2 years ago, and the glue is starting to not cooperate anymore. So every so often, I hear like things falling down. So, all right. I know, we end up going a little bit later. It's okay. Once we go live on Pro Wrestling TV, and I am available supposedly in 155 million homes because I will be live on their linear channel. When that happens, then I got to be very, very strict with time. If it's an hour, if it's 90 minutes, whatever at time we advertise, when it comes to the end, it's got to come to the end. So I don't have to be extremely strict right now, but we definitely have to start paying attention to it. So, but yeah. Yeah, Pro Wrestling TV, a lot of you are probably still not aware. We are the number one show on there. Video on demand, we are the number one show. We have beaten everybody, which either means we are doing a damn good job or everybody else is sucking balls. And believe me when I tell you, I know the behind the scenes about Pro Wrestling TV. They are on some kick-ass momentum right now. So it is definitely not people doing bad. It's just the shows have caught fire. And I'm getting emails from a lot of people that never heard of my shows before that said, hey, caught you on Pro Wrestling TV, never knew you existed. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty freaking cool. So, Twix, don't go there. It's not necessary. You know, I have no angst against anybody out there. You know, at my age and with everything going on, like the shirt I wore Monday, grab life by the meatballs, just have fun. You know, it's no longer, I know some people find it hard to believe, but it's no longer about pissing off the haters. It's about everybody having a good time. And that's the way it's good to stay here. Yeah, we may have to address with someone here and there. That's just human nature. But right now, no ill will, no angst, just having a good time. That's all that matters. So, all right. I'm going to jet out of here. I hope everybody had a nice night tonight. Hope you enjoyed AEW, NXT. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Now, some very important schedule notes. Tomorrow, Thursday, you know, every other week now, we're doing a mailbag. Every 2 weeks, you'll see a mailbag. And you'll have the opportunity. You can email me questions. You can email questions now, dontony@dontony.com, and I will definitely get it ready. We will do a mailbag every other week. It will be on Thursday. I already recorded it today. I did 90 minutes. So I'm going to release that tomorrow, probably around 12 noon, between 12 and 1 p.m. So this way, my international friends that may want to tune in, some excellent topics. Very interesting about David Benoit saying that he's working on it with WWE to get his father in the Hall of Fame. I had some very interesting comments about that. There was some very, very good topics. I mean, you'd be very surprised in how good this mailbag was. And it's all your questions. So you got that tomorrow. Now, remember, Saturday, the Don Tony Show is not airing Saturday night. I have an engagement party to go to. Not mine. You know, some people thought I was going to my own engagement. I'm getting married too much. You don't do an engagement party 2 months before. I'm going to someone else's Saturday. Pictures will be taken, so you'll see it. But I'm going to do it Saturday morning. So you are sort of getting Breakfast with Blasi Saturday morning. We will do a little vintage Breakfast with Blasi. I was thinking about taking the old audio and splicing it over, you know, and do it, but it might be a little bit too quick, too soon to do that. But Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, I will be here live with the Don Tony Show. So if you're up Saturday morning and you want to spend a little bit of your morning with yours truly, check it out. We will talk about Sasha Banks. She was announced today for C2E2. Now, what a lot of people need to understand is that is a sci-fi comic book convention. And with her, with Star Wars and everything else, you know, I know a lot of people are convinced she is done with WWE. And I kind of believe that as well, even though it's not been made official yet. I will say this. By the beginning of August, we will know 100% if she's gone. Because every single person that's going to pay $90 to take a picture with her, or $70 to get an autograph, you know she is preparing herself. They're not going to be like, I loved you in The Mandalorian. Who was your favorite opponent? No, everybody's, the first words out of their mouth is, are you still with WWE? Are you gone? Like, what's going on? She better be prepared for that. I guarantee you're going to see people dressed up as R2-D2 or a fucking Stormtrooper, and they're going to walk up to her. Are you gone from WWE? Why am I covering my mouth? Like hygiene. It'd be like Darth Vader. Seriously, I'd wear a Darth Vader outfit and go, are you gone from WWE?
Did Vince ever grab your buttocks?
She's going to be asked that 1,000 times. And you know somebody's going to be there with a camera phone. So be prepared with all the sights. You saw it here first. Sasha says she's gone. So by the first week in August, we're going to know, because that's when C2E2 happens. But remember, this is comic book sci-fi. She's the Mandalorian. So she's there for more than one reason. But yes, those are the prices. $90 for a Polaroid, $70 for a signed photo. And I think if you want the photo emailed, it's another $10. Let that sink in. We'll talk about it Saturday morning.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.